If you will, turn into Scriptures. Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. I can't get away from the song that she sang just a minute ago. Beautiful guitar music and beautiful song, the words about prayer. I want you to see something about me and you tonight. I want you to understand something about where you and I live. I want you to understand something that, can I just be honest with you? Can I just be open and transparent? Because I don't like keeping secrets. I just don't. I don't do good with that. And I don't think, you know what? I don't want to hurt people's feelings, but can I show you something? There ain't nobody else here but me and you. Can we just gather around the Word of God tonight and let God work in our hearts? May we all just be transparent with the Lord. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 22. It's very familiar scripture, but I want you to see what God has for us tonight and maybe put some things together. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Now look at this. The song touched my heart tonight about this. "And in the fourth watch," get a hold of this. If you don't, you just read right over some things. Look what it says. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went into them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw it," walking on the sea, "they were troubled, saying, 'It's a spirit.' And they cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake to them, saying," be of good cheer, "it is I. Be not afraid." Father, we thank you for the time you're about to give us. We thank you for the time you've already given us. Lord, I ask you, please, help me to hear from you. Lord, may the words coming out of my mouth, Lord, may be pleasing to you, because if it is, all is well. Help my thoughts be from heaven, dear God. Fill me, Almighty Father. Father, I thank you for putting up with me. Lord, I thank you for second and third chances. Father, I thank you for prayer. I thank you for these things. Almighty Father, I ask you, please, fill me. Use it tonight to thy glory and thy glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Right here, what has happened is, straightway, if you'll look at verse number 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. You know what? It was a stormy night. It was a troubled night. It wasn't an ordinary night, and it was a, listen, it was bad. It was a storm. Do you know you don't travel around very much when a storm of life comes up? Can I show you something? You just don't travel around. You don't do much when a storm comes. What do? You got to hunker down. You got to batten down the hatches. You got to get yourself to where you're in safety as much as you can. Can I show you something here? These men were exposed. These men were out in the deep. Can I show you what was happening? Look up here in verse 24. "Now the ship was in the midst of the sea." Can I show you something? Sometimes me and you get out there in the deep. Sometimes me and you get too far from the shore. Sometimes me and you will drift. Sometimes our prayer life is not what it should be. Sometimes our Bible reading is not what it should be. Sometimes our heart just goes through the motions. Sometimes me and you just sort of like take shortcuts on things. Can I show you something? There's certain things you and I don't need to take shortcuts on. And one of them is prayer time. Listen, I'm all about praying for each other. I'm all about this. And one of the things that touched my heart over the years is, Lord, teach me how to pray. When I was a teenager and I was in the church where I met my wife, there was an old, wise man of God. And that wise man of God talked to us as teenagers. And he began to tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ and how God answers prayer. Oh, I was just a teenager and I'm thinking, okay, God answers the preacher's prayer. God answers Sunday school teachers and deacons' prayers. But I never had God answer one of my prayers before. And I didn't know if God had ever answered one of my mom or my dad's prayers either. The old man of God began to tell us, teenagers, it's a personal walk with God. That means that you need to be specific. And he began to tell us about a time that he was trying to learn how to pray himself. And when I was noticing this right here in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, you see what happened was this. He began to teach us and to tell us about these different times through the night. And I didn't understand what was going on. All I knew was this. I was seeing a real pretty girl in church, and there was something different about her, and there was something godly about her. And can I show you something? Now I'm starting to learn about this thing about prayer. God was working in my heart, and I didn't know what God was trying to do. Here's what was happening. He said, one day I was working in the church. He said, this is back when nobody had nothing, hardly at all, in the old days. And he said, I had this church, and I was a pastor of the church. And he said, it was a small country church up here around 421 up there. And what happened was this. He said, the church filled up with water in the basement. He said, I need to dig a ditch and get the water out of the basement because that's God's property. He said, there was nobody else in the church to be able to help me. He said, I got my shovel, got my boots on. He said, I just went out there what you should do and just do what you can do. I'm digging a ditch for the glory of God. I got to get the water out of the church house so it doesn't mess things up. And he said, halfway through the job, I broke my shovel. He said, I was working for the Lord. He said, I was the pastor of the church. I was working, I was doing for the Lord. I was doing for God's house. I had lined myself up in how I should go for God. And in the middle of that job, I broke my shovel. Now you're sitting there thinking, well, just go get you another one. No, this was in the days when nobody had nothing. This was in the old days. Listen to me. He couldn't go to a neighbor that didn't have nothing. It wasn't that close by. And he said, I got so discouraged. I sat down in the ditch, water and mud everywhere around me, and I started just weeping and crying because I broke my shovel and I could not replace it. Over a shovel? Yeah. It doesn't matter what you're doing for God. When you're doing it with your heart for God and something goes wrong, it messes with you. You want to please God. And that was the last straw that preacher could take. He broke his shovel. He said, I couldn't go nowhere. He said, I didn't know nobody and there weren't no cell phones or nothing at those times or nothing. He said, I began to just sit there and I was mad. And then I got feeling sorry for myself. And he said, I didn't know what to do. I need to get this done. And there's nobody else to help. And I'm doing this for God. And my shovel breaks. He said, about a half an hour went by. And he said, I got to thinking. You know God created this whole planet. You know God hung the stars and the moon. You know God created everything, and He gave us His only begotten Son. If He gave us His only begotten Son, why am I tore up over a shovel? I'll just ask Him for a shovel. He gave us His Son from glory. Why wouldn't He give me a shovel to finish the work of the house of God? He said, I started praying for a shovel. He said it was simple, but it meant everything to me. He said, I needed to do this. It was a job needing done. And He said, I know some of you are sort of snickering, but it was important because God was trying to teach me about prayer. He said, I didn't understand, young people. Here's what happened. He said, 2-3 days went by, no shovel. He said, I was driving my car up there on 421. He said, you know how curvy it is. He said, but there's a one curve, it sort of goes around, then there's a straight stretch. And he said, then it goes on to the mountains, another curve. He said, when I rounded that curve, I saw something in the center line. He said, I rounded that curve and way down yonder, he said, way down yonder, I could see something was in between those double yellow lines. Now, it wasn't laying this way across it. It was straight like this. I couldn't tell what it was. I got closer and I got closer. He said, all of a sudden, my eyes got big. And he said, there's my shovel. It was from spade to the handle, right like somebody had laid it down between the double yellow lines so nobody wouldn't run over it. He said, normally what I would do is try to find an owner or something like that. He said, it didn't bother me no more. I stopped. That was my shovel. That's what God had given me. And he said, I went and I finished the work at the house of God. As a young person, for the first time in my life, I'd never heard of such a thing that God would do. In my heart of hearts, God did something that day. God said something in my heart. I want that kind of relationship with you. And in my heart of hearts, I said to God, I want that kind of God. I want that kind of relationship. Through the years, I've tried, and I've tried to study about prayer, and I've tried to learn how to be able to pray, and I've learned it's just got to come from the heart. But I've also learned this. I've got to line me up with the way God's going. A lot of people, and me included, try to do something over here. God's over here. Can I show you something? We try to get God to bless us over here. God said, get yourself in line. We're going this way. And when I get myself in line, then the blessings start flowing. Can I show you something? I'm not real good at it. But I've learned a few things about prayer. You see, in that fourth watch of the night, I've learned in the Old Testament, there's only 3 times that there's mention in the beginning watch, in the middle watch, and in the evening watch. There's only 3 watches mentioned in the Old Testament. Now, I ain't giving it to you because you're going to have to study it yourself if you want to know about God. So you look up watch and you look up the watches and you look up and you do some study. Now listen to me. That's 3 times only in the Old Testament. There's only 3 watches made mention. In Mark, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is teaching, and He mentioned there's 4 times through the night. So the Lord Jesus Christ talks about 4 different times through the night. One is even, one is midnight, one is the cock crowing, and one is in the early morning. Now watch. What's the difference in the Old Testament watches and the New Testament watches? In the Old Testament, the Greeks, the Romans, the Persians, it's this thing called watch This was a military type of thing. You keep watch. You have a sentry. When others are asleep, somebody's praying for me. Somebody's praying for you while you're asleep. Somebody's keeping watch. In the Old Testament, it was 4 hours. It was a 4-hour shift. If you were caught sleeping on duty, they would have your life. So the Romans said, we're losing too many because they're sleeping on the job. So the Romans in the New Testament made it 4 watches, and Jesus said, we divide this thing up into 4 watches, military time. Can I show you something? Not every night was a man on duty. Not every night would he keep watch through the night, but there was a schedule. Through the week, in the Jewish timetable, listen to me, in the Jewish timetable, it starts at 6 o'clock in the evening, and it goes to 9 o'clock. There's your first watch. And then, from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, I like that one best because I turn the TV off, I turn everything off. And at 3 o'clock to 12 o'clock, that 3-hour period, you know what I do? I get alone in my place with God, my place where I meet with God. I got me a chair that meets my belly just right, and it's nice and soft, and I bend over, and I get a hold of God, and me and Him meet right there. And listen, you have to plan it. It don't happen by accident. And I go in, and I say, dear God, I love You more than the Braves. I turn it off. I love You more than my TV. I love You more than anything else. And dear God, this is my time with You. And I want to talk to You about some shovel fools. When's the last time? And I'm not being mean, church, but when's the last time that you can honestly say, you got you a good shovel full from heaven of answered prayer? I was in Rockholds, Kentucky. You can't get there from here. You have to go everywhere. But anyway, in Rockholds, Kentucky. Can I show you something? The pastor wasn't in that night, and there was a godly deacon that was preaching. And can I show you something? He touched my heart about prayer. He taught me something else about prayer. And he was talking about Joshua and talking about the stones that he laid for a marker of where and what had been done. And God told him, what meaneth ye by these stones? He said, you know what I do every time I get a prayer answered? He said, I go get me a rock, and I got it piled up at my barn. So every time I go by and I see what God's done, every time I leave, I see what God's done in my life. And that got a hold of me. Can I show you something? I started getting river rock. Every time God answered a prayer, just me, just Him, nobody else knew about it. And I got me a pile of rocks out in front of my house. To my shame, it ought to look like a rock quarry. But it don't. But I do have me a pile. You know why I do that? You showing off now? No, listen to me. Because when I leave, you know what I see? What God's done. I don't forget it. Because me and you have a tendency to forget what God's done in our life. Me and you have a tendency to forget the blessings and things of God. And can I show you something? I can tell you what every rock, what it means, what God did for this old boy and his family. And when I'm gone on these trips, and I come back and I'm wore slap out, I ain't walking real tall, and I promise you I'll have a limp. I pull in my house. And I see the pile of rocks. And I was like, yes, my God is alive. My God, I hadn't forgot. He hadn't forgotten me. And I know what them are about. Can I show you something? Look right here. In verse number 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Can I show you where a lot of us stay? A lot of us stay right there in that contrariness. A lot of us stay in those waves, and it beats on us, and we really and truly have trouble. And you know what happens? Sometimes we lose focus. Sometimes we want to take shortcuts. You know how we take shortcuts? Dear God, bless all our missionaries. When's the last time you took a missionary's name and you called it out specifically? And you took and looked at his prayer card and his wife and his kids? When's the last time? Dear God, bless all our church members. Get them back safely to us. You know, that's just sort of like a laundry list you take to God. You just dump the list out. Can I show you something? When's the last time you really took the time to call each member's name of this church out? God is a specific God. And we get in a hurry. And we want to take the shortcuts on God, but we want the blessings. Amen. Nod your heads up and down. Listen to me. You see these? These almost didn't get written. Let me tell you why. I learned during the watch. I learned to take the watch through the night. I learned to go in and not just dump my laundry list on God. I've learned to ask God and then be quiet. Take the time to be quiet. The first one I don't have with me, it was, let's learn about missionaries. Here's what happened. God has used these by the hundreds of thousands. God has used these to win souls. I don't even know how many, but listen to me. About 6 or 7, maybe 8 years now ago, I went to my place, my special place, and I was keeping watch. And I asked God, how do you want me to reach more souls for you? And I just got quiet. I want to know what God wanted. I was tired of me. And I need more shovelfuls from heaven. I need to know which way God's going. And I learned to be quiet. Here's what happened. Look at me. After several minutes of just being quiet, a coloring book came in my mind. And I just dismissed it. Come on, seriously? A coloring book? That's just me being juvenile. Of course, I do work with kids. But watch. Have you ever done something and you knew you should have never done that? That's what happened in my prayer life that night. Here's what happened. My prayer life didn't go very far that night. I done knew I messed up something. The next night, I'm trying to figure this out. I go back to God again, and during that 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock time, and I got quiet with God, and I said, Dear God, how do you want me to reach more people for you? And I just got quiet. Instantly, a coloring book came in my mind, and preacher, here's what I did, and I wish I'd never done it. I reared back, and I looked up to God, and I said, Seriously? Do you not know how people will laugh at us over a coloring book? I said that. You see, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box sometimes. And I grieved the Holy Ghost of God, and I didn't understand it. I'd never done anything like that. I didn't know the first thing about this. I tried to apologize, but in my prayer time was done. I went back on Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, and I apologized for a long time. And I said, Dear God, if you want a coloring book, you're going to have to teach me everything because I don't know anything. I can't draw a stick, people, let alone know how to do this. And all of a sudden, a peace swept over my soul. I was getting me some shovelfuls. And all of a sudden, I got the first title. I got the second title. I got the third title. And I didn't know the first thing about it. But God started showing me. All He wanted was me to be willing. All He wanted was me to just ask. All He wanted me to do was just line up with Him. He does the rest. We have now filled 4 containers, 40-foot shipping containers. And God keeps bringing the money in. I don't know how or why He blesses like that, but I sure am glad to be a part of it. I know this, it's getting His word out to the next generation. It's getting His word out to those kids. It's getting His word out to those grandparents. It's getting His word out any way He chooses to. I just had to get me out of the way and watch God. Dear church, some of you's been running. That song tonight really did something in my heart. Some of you ain't lining up like you should. I'm not being mean, because I done told you how sometimes I'm hard-headed. Some of us have become calloused. Some of us have been in this storm a while, and you're tossed, and you're tossed, and you're not sure. Can I show you something to help you and encourage you? Look at what it says in verse 26. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit!" They were scared. Why? They're in the middle of a mess. And they've never seen Jesus like that before, ever. Jesus didn't rebuke them. He said, "It is I." And it gave them peace. Now watch. Look at verse number 31. This is after Peter gets out of the boat. Can I show you this? The boat is a good place to stay. Amen. But I'm glad that Peter had this experience, because look what it says. He began to sink. He got to looking at all around him. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and called him. And He said unto him, and listen to me, church, God smote my heart just a few weeks ago over this verse. Look at it. "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Hebrews 11:6 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." It threw me back to the old man of God teaching us to get a shovel from heaven. I looked at my life, and you see what that says right there? Wherefore? Wherefore? You know what that means? At what point didst thou doubt? Some of you, God's told you to do something. I know that, because it's in my heart to preach this. And some of you is holding back. Some of you should be doing something. I have no idea what. But I can tell you this. At what point didst thou doubt? I'm too old. At what point didst thou doubt? I'm too young. At what point didst thou doubt? When's the last time you got a shovel full from heaven? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I ask You please that You take this. Lord, I did what You put in my heart. And Lord, I ask You please that You help and You just work in the church and the hearts of the people. And Father, help us to understand to go the direction You're going. And Father, forgive us because we are weak. And Father, forgive us because the disciples didn't even know it was You, because they'd never seen You like that before. And they were scared. And dear God, many times we're scared because we've never gone this way with You before. Father, help our unbelief. And Father, help us to get quiet in our prayer time. Help us to call each other out by name in our prayer time. Dear God, we need some shovel fools from heaven. God help us in Jesus' name. Amen.